One of the things that is always interesting to me are those issues, are those stories about Jesus that are usually understood in a particular way, but there's another way you can go through them. And this being out of place is directly related to a couple of stories about him, because all of us, one time or another, probably have been not been where we're supposed to be. When you were growing up, those of you adults, did your parents ever have to come out looking for you? Are you students, have your parents ever come out looking for you, the same people? Just know they probably received it too when they were your age. Just because it's sort of out of character, I love the story that Gail's dad told me, that when she was in high school, she and some friends were out. She was driving the car. It was her car, their car, and she was out running around Graham, Texas, interpreted as looking for boys. And so they were out, but out a little too long. And just as she was taking the first girl home, she met her dad. And that was not a comfortable situation, to say the least. But she wasn't where she was supposed to be when she was supposed to be. All of us have had something like that that's occurred in our lives one way or the other. For our students, one of the things they have to learn is to be where they're supposed to be, when they're supposed to be, and ready for whatever they're supposed to do. About once a week, we get a call from some parent that's really distressed because his or her son or daughter wasn't at their dorm room, wasn't at the place they were working. If they worked, just weren't where they're supposed to be. Nearly always, thankfully, we have them call in and basically say, "We've told you, call at least once a week, and if you'll do that, we won't hear from them again." But one of the more interesting stories about Jesus in Luke chapter 2 is when he was a young man and was only 12, I guess you could call him a young man, but it's one of those stories that were very interesting to me because they give a picture of Jesus that we don't always spend much time on. And there are several of them, at least two that we'll go through today. Luke 2, chapter 2, starting with verse 41. We can get those up. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. And after the festival was over, while the parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. And then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends, and when they didn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple court, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers, and when his parents saw him, they said they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why are you searching for me?" he asked. "Don't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things up in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. 12 years old. I love those things that sort of show the human side of Jesus as well as the divine side. Those of you with 12-year-old boys can understand this, that he didn't necessarily get permission to stay, didn't tell him he was. I've often wondered later on, did he say, "Mary, Mom, I wish I'd done this another way. I wish I'd let you know," or whatever else, to kind of make up with her. We know basically from Luke, he's the only one that tells these stories. Anytime it says Mary treasured these things up in her heart, you can be pretty confident that Luke talked to her. He says that he talked to a lot of people about all the things associated with Jesus, And in these particular instances, it's pretty clear he talked to her about this. Jesus wasn't where he was supposed to be in terms of how they viewed it. And so as a result, you had this whole exchange. And I think Luke knew that most of us later on would read this and say, you know, was he obstreperous? Was he a difficult child? All these kinds of things. You hear stories that are apocryphal about him, you know, raising birds from the dead and various things like that, none of which seem to have any real substance to them. And so Luke puts at the end of that, he went home, he was obedient to his parents, and he grew in favor with knowledge and knowledge of not only God, but all humanity that he was in touch with. And so as a result, he just wasn't where he was supposed to be. There's a second one where he's not where his family thinks he's supposed to be. I didn't get the scripture for it. It's in Mark. But since we're basically going through Luke, I thought, well, I'd throw in a Mark just to balance things out. But it's the next time we see Mary and Jesus together. Jesus has just started his ministry. If you look in Mark, he's just had that interaction with Satan and so on. And so he's beginning his ministry. But the leaders, the religious leaders, the Pharisees and so on, were upset with what he was saying because he did not say what they wanted him to say on nearly any situation. And so if you read through the chapter in Mark, you'll find that what Jesus seems to be doing is just going wherever that people want him to go. It's the third chapter of Mark, and having tremendous responses from people. And so he is at a place, and evidently the leaders said to either his brothers or to Mary or somebody that got the message back to him, you need to get that boy home or something bad's going to happen to him. And so Mary, evidently Joseph is now deceased, Mary and his brothers, and remember they're all younger brothers, Mary and his brothers go to this house to get him, to bring him home, because they were afraid he was out of his mind. And so they go, and when the people around him say, your mother and brothers are here, he said, who are my mother? And who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Except those who really follow and are interested in the kingdom of God. That would be another one Mary would store up in her heart to remember. Because again, it's not what she expected. She thought Jesus should be someplace. He was out of place in her mind. But in his mind, he was exactly where he needed to be. The first time he was physically lost. The second time, his mother and brothers thought that he was psychologically lost. If you look in the rest of Luke, he takes this same paradigm and flips it. And three different times, instead of him being lost, three different times he has something else being lost. And the story each time is really that we are the ones that are out of place, and not he, not Jesus. Those are stories you know well. There's the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. And although they're similar in theme, the stories themselves are quite different. It's like if you just take it at face value, you say, well, my goodness, he's wasted a lot of time repeating the same thing three times. But when you look at the stories, there are really three ways of looking at how we, as humans, can be out of place. First one is the lost sheep. And these are stories you know well, but we're going to look at them a little bit differently. Luke 15, 3 through 7. And Jesus told this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he will joyfully put it on his shoulders and take him home. What happened to this sheep? He wandered off. There's no indication that there were wolves after him. There was no indication that the shepherd had driven him off, because the shepherd goes looking for him. He just wandered off. And I think the point of this particular story about being out of place is that sometimes we wander off. And it's sometimes very difficult to know that we're wandering off while we're doing it. But if you look at our lives and think about how am I involved with the things that matter to me, and so often, how am I involved with things that I should be involved with versus just sort of getting numb about them to where I just wander off. And the idea is that we probably psychologically wander off before we physically wander off. And sometimes it takes a real jolt or a friend or a church member to kind of get us back. And I'm not talking about just going to church. I'm talking about mentally not being involved with Christ like we have been in the past, and that we, when we reflect about it, know that we should be. Then the last part, and notice that on this parable here, the next one, about the woman who has coins. Luke 15, 8 through 10. Suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and she loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is an interesting story. It's different from the first one, because the first one, the sheep wanders off. The coin doesn't wander off. It's like the old joke, when you see a turtle on a fence post, you know that he's had some involvement with other forces around. He couldn't do it by himself. Same way with a coin. A coin can't get lost by itself. Someone, maybe the owner, somebody else, maybe, somehow this coin got lost. It wasn't with the other nine that were there. Sometimes we get lost in terms of just having terrible forces come in on us, and we don't think about them enough and know what they're doing to us. There's a parable that Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount where he basically says, when you go through it all, don't give to dogs what is sacred. Don't cast your pearls to swine. If you do, they'll tear them, they will take them and then tear you to pieces. The idea being here, why would you give to dogs what is sacred? Why would you cast your pearls to swine? And the basic answer that he gives in that parable is because somehow or another we've lost our balance. Somehow or another we're not aware of all that we're doing, but that basically we're taking something that's really valuable to us and turning it over to somebody who absolutely will abuse it and not use it well. Many of you have been to dinners this past 2 weeks with New Friends, New Life, and with Austin Street Shelter, and all the stories there about someone who basically was just taken and put into some other situation that's been incredibly difficult for them to get out of. But what Jesus shows here is that, I love the statement about the woman sweeping, and she's trying to find that coin because dust has gotten on it, dirt's gotten on it, and she's sweeping so that eventually the brilliance of that coin will show forward and she'll be able to pick it up and put it with the other ones. And so sometimes we need somebody to help sweep the dust off us or sweep a little dirt off or whatever else so that we can be seen for what we really are, and that's valuable, or we need to help others be seen for what they really are. But the coin didn't get lost by itself. And sometimes we have more help getting lost than we need to for us to get back to where we're supposed to be. And then the last one, and we're going to be skipping through some of this because you know it well. And the last one you have about the lost son in Luke chapter 15. All of these are in 15, one after another. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said, 'His father, give me the share of the estate, so he divided his property between his two sons. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth and wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. And when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's house servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I'll set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" So he got up and went to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him and ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The first two stories, Jesus is actively searching for what's lost, the sheep, the coin. In this story, he's looking, but he's not searching. He's looking for that son diligently, but he knows if he goes out searching for him, it won't work. It just won't work. Sometimes we can get ourselves into situations in which you just cannot help somebody until they are ready to be helped. But what this story basically says is that although sometimes things have to kind of play their way out, that we still have a Father who is looking for us. And sometimes, if we're talking about these three ways of getting lost, probably the hardest one to come back on is this one. Because it's based upon self-centeredness, it's based upon all kinds of things that you don't just get over quickly. Sometimes you have to hit the bottom before you can rebound. And Jesus is saying here that when you do, and our sermon would be, and hopefully we'll be there to help individuals like this, whether it's you, me, or others, that Jesus and God are looking for us. So all three of these, ones were inattentive and just wandered off, one overpowered maybe by strong forces, the coin, one just pride and self-indulgence and wouldn't allow any guidance. It's easy to sort of view these as being, well, it's a nice sermon, Gerald, but it's people it's directed toward are not here. You know, they've wandered off, or they're powerful forces or whatever else. But the whole reason of going through this is it does apply to us. It does apply to us because so often these actions, and I believe these three actions are separated by Jesus rather than having just one lost story, is because they are reality. We do mentally, psychologically wander off. All of us do. We feel greater faith and greater relationships with the church and our brothers and sisters sometimes than we do others. It's those times when we don't, we need to catch ourselves because we're sort of wandering away. Same way with our prayer life. If we haven't talked to God in 2 or 3 days, we're wandering off, whatever our past history is. Lost coin. We don't want to get involved with anything that is so powerful, we give ourselves to it. This whole statement by Jesus about not giving your pearls to swine. The action in that, what's so hard about that parable is that in both instances, to the dogs what is sacred and to pearls with the swine, is that we do it. They weren't taken from us. We do it. And that's why sometimes we're the coin that is lost because of our own actions. And it's hard sometimes to come back, but it's also necessary, and sometimes that's where a good friend or believer can be enormously helpful to us. And then the last one, where we just, in many instances, have the opportunity to be obstreperous, to not want basically what's best for all of us, for some of us, or whatever else, but it's a very selfish orientation. I want what's mine, and I don't care what the outcome might be in your situation. So these stories about being out of place really do have some relevance to all of us. Jesus, in Revelation, has a great picture of himself. And it's very much the same as when the Father is just waiting for the Son. He's not out searching, wouldn't do any good. He's not out in any way. He is waiting, lovingly waiting for the Son. And that picture in Revelation 3 is Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He doesn't say, "I'm going to kick the door open." He doesn't say, "I'm going to take it down." He says, "I'm standing at the door and knocking. And if you'll let me in, I'll come and share with you, and from all of the rest of your life, you'll be having access with me in ways that you might not have when you don't let me in." So, just as Jesus' family kept looking for him, he now promises to keep looking for us, and he'll go looking for us if we are just sort of out of kilter, out of some kind of organization that we might have, or whatever else. But if we basically just blow him off, he's going to wait until we hit bottom. But then when we turn around, he's there. We can't do anything that he isn't ready to take us back. There's one scripture that says when he's talking to the Pharisees, that if they basically attribute his actions that are fueled by God to Satan, he called it the unforgivable sin. But that's the only place anywhere, anything, is called that. And I think those of you that have worked with New Friends, New Life know what a powerful lesson that is from Scripture, that he's always looking for us and always knocking. All we got to do is sort of let him in. Don't wander off. Don't get overpowered by incredibly strong forces in life. And don't get so obstreperous with him. From time to time, I mean, even in Fiddler on the Roof, he talks back to him. But it's always in the context of, "I love you and I'm going to keep working with you." Let's stand and sing. Thank you.